Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Dear loving God, we thank you for the life and letters of your Apostle Paul as we read and listen to his first letter to the Christian community in the city of Corinth. Help us to take his concerns and advice and apply them to our own lives today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now these things occurred as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it.
Thank you, Bill. Well, we are still in our series looking at the Lord's Prayer. And last week we talked about forgiving our trespasses, our sins, our debts, just as we forgive our debtors. And then we also looked at what we owe our neighborhood and our community as a church. And on that note, just to pause here to celebrate, I am aware of about 50 people who walked or drove and 14 different blocks that were prayed over. And that's just who I've heard from. If you did it and you haven't talked to me at all, then you know, that number might be higher. If I were an evangelical counter, I would say, oh, it was probably 60, 70, 80, you know, just keep rounding up. I just wanted to really celebrate that, and I think God will work in our hearts, and I'm really excited to see what God will do through us as we orient ourselves in prayer toward our neighborhood. So thank you to everyone who participated in the prayer walk last week. And if last week we had the terrible petition, you know, forgive us as we forgive, this week is really a fantastic petition in the Lord's Prayer. It's an easy one to pray for. We can all get behind asking God to rescue us from evil and rescue us from temptation, right? That's an easy prayer, at least until we ask, what role does God want me to play in that? Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, my grandfather was an interesting man, and apparently quite a character as well. Despite being bound to a wheelchair due to polio, he managed to get a law degree, to have a very successful Pepsi Cola bottling business, to get elected to the Texas House of Representatives. In fact, I still have two Texas-shaped coasters that were from the House of Representatives on my desk in the church. Don't tell them, I'm not giving them back. And he had many reasons to be proud. He was a proud man. But if you ever put a dessert in front of him, he would respond with, I can resist anything except for temptation. And I love that. Isn't that so true for all of us? We can resist anything except for temptation. I mean, for instance, I absolutely hate gambling, and it's not because I have some giant moral problem with gambling as an entertainment format. It's really because I'm good at math and I'm a cheapskate. So even if I'm winning, I'm just waiting around for the inevitable losing to begin. I can't enjoy it even when I'm winning. I blame it on my Swedish roots. So should I be proud of myself, though, if I'm not, you know, I'm not tempted by gambling. I can overcome the temptation of gambling. It never tempts me. So do I get to be proud about that if it doesn't even tempt me at all? Conversely, I was talking to someone who gave up Diet Coke for Lent, and a much braver person than I am. But I saw this person at a meeting with a huge, like one of those 40-ounce clear cups. Clear is important because I could see that there was a very soda-looking liquid in this 40-ounce cup, and that my puzzlement must have been obvious because this person responded, "Oh, don't worry, it's regular Coke, so I'm good." I mean, do we get to be proud if we just substitute one temptation for another? We can all resist anything except for temptation. So let's throw out everything, you know, that's easy for you, like the gambling for me, whatever that is for you that doesn't even tempt you. Maybe that's, you know, drinking too much alcohol or smoking, you know, whatever vice just doesn't appeal to you whatsoever. Throw that out for the moment. That's fantastic that it doesn't tempt you. But for the sake of this sermon, let's throw that out. And let's move to what actually does tempt you. What do you really need actual willpower to resist? What gives you pause? Would unattended cash tempt you? Would income that the IRS can't trace tempt you about a month from now? Does lying to get out of trouble tempt you? Would pornography tempt you? Or like my grandfather, would a great dessert tempt you? What actually tempts you? As I've prayed the Lord's Prayer, as you have for many, many years, I have often wondered why we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." I mean, why would God lead us ever? Why would God ever lead us into temptation? Or Matthew's version here, "Do not bring us into the time of trial." Why would God ever bring us into trial? Is he bored? Does he need to entertain himself for eternity? Like, why would God do that? I've wondered that. Have you? Well, in the book of James, we do have at least one response on that from chapter 1. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.'" Don't say that. "For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Okay? If we listen to James, then God is not the one actually tempting us. He doesn't take the dessert and wave it underneath our nose. That's not how God works. Good to know. But then what does it mean to pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? Well, to answer that, I believe we need this, the whole phrase. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Or as Matthew's version says, "Do not bring us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." So to move this image into a contemporary setting, if you've ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty, then in that movie, the main character is driving around, played by Jim Carrey, he's driving around asking God for a sign, some kind of sign for his life. And as he's driving, he passes a slow down sign, but he doesn't notice it. And so he keeps asking God, "God, please send me some kind of sign." And this dump truck pulls out in front of him with stop signs hanging all over it, but he doesn't see it. Finally, he lifts his eyes while still driving to heaven. "God, please, I demand a sign." The dump truck had stopped in front of him. The joke is that all of these signs were around for him to see, and he couldn't see them. The very thing that he was asking for, God was providing, but he couldn't notice. And I say that because temptation, I believe, is kind of like driving around in a bad neighborhood. Some part of town that you don't really want to be in. You don't want to pull over and ask directions here. And if you're driving with your GPS, it just keeps repeating in an ominous tone, "Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn." When you're in a bad neighborhood, somewhat lost, you need to follow the right signs to get out. And so this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," this prayer is not a prayer to God to make sure we never are tempted. It's not a prayer to God to prevent us from entering the times of trial, to always avoid the bad neighborhood. No, this prayer is, "God, give me the clear signs to follow. And unlike Bruce Almighty, help me to notice them." Our first text today from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this: "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone." Happens to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may endure it. If you think about this, I think it's an incredibly hopeful text. Because if God does not let us be tested beyond our strength, then that means no matter the circumstances, we always have a way out. No matter our genetics, no matter our upbringing, no matter the situation, we always have another choice. One of my friends was recently taking his brother to rehab. His brother was using a lot of drugs, but wanted to go to rehab finally. And while they were driving to rehab, his brother, the one who was going to rehab, started saying how it was his parents' fault because they used drugs when they were growing up. And so he just, inevitable that growing up in that household, he would end up where he was. But my friend told him, I grew up in the same household. I never used drugs. Shockingly, his brother finally heard that and said, you know, you're right. And so maybe rehab is finally his way out. My friend took the way out long before, but his brother never could. Maybe now he will be able to. Our text today also asks God, rescue us from the evil one, or as I usually refer to it, as the adversary. See, my friend's brother, he was falling for one of the most common tricks of the adversary, one of the most common detour signs. Not one of the right signs, but a detour sign when you're in the bad neighborhood of trial and temptation. This detour sign says, it's inevitable, just give up. Another common detour sign reads, it's someone else's fault, just give in. Another detour sign reads, it's so small, no one will notice. Or one of the most common detour signs is, it's just this one time. What detour signs get in your way when you're trying to find your way out of the bad neighborhood of trial and temptation? What does the little red guy on your shoulder whisper in your ear? Whatever it is, it's a lie. It's not the way out. It's a detour. But God always, always, always has a way out. But it's a different sign. Sometimes a much harder one to follow, but it's always there. Back in the year 2000, the U.S. government started requiring clinical trials of many kinds of drugs and therapies to, before they would do the clinical trial, you have to register publicly on this website what we're going to try to find out, here's how we're going to do it, here's how we're going to know if it works or not. All of that ahead of time. But what's interesting is before they were required to disclose their methods first, 57% of the time, they found out that the drugs worked. But after they were required to disclose their process first, only 8% of the drugs worked. That is fascinating, isn't it? It's almost as if those researchers, those scientists, were tempted by the lure of wealth and so rounded up when they were able to. But public accountability was the cure for that particular temptation. It was a much harder direction, but it was a way out of the bad neighborhood of temptation for those researchers. And just as the adversary has many common detour signs, so too God has many common true direction signs for us. And being accountable is one of the very common direction signs that God gives us to find our way out of the bad neighborhood of trial and temptation. So is there anywhere where you could use another person, another trusted person, or maybe a small group of people to hold you accountable, to check in on you? Or maybe someone you know could use your gracious checking in on occasion for where you know they are tempted. Accountability is a very common direction sign from God. Another common direction sign from God is find something better. Now, probably going from Diet Coke to regular Coke does not cut it for finding something better for Lent. That's not really helping. But, you know, we all know the phrase, idle hands are the devil's playthings, right? You know, when I was a bachelor, there were many more opportunities for temptation because I had a lot more time on my hands. One of the good things about having a wife and two kids is it diminishes your idle time. So there's less opportunity for temptation. That's praise be to Jesus. But whenever the idle time is there, or whenever the temptation is available, one way out is to have something better queued up and ready to go. For instance, Weight Watchers has long had this debate over how many points do we assign to vegetables and fruits. So with Weight Watchers, you get, you know, number of points per day, and every food has points. And so, you know, scientifically, fruits have sugar. And, you know, so that's not always good. You could theoretically have too many fruits and too many vegetables. But other people wanted to make them free, so you could always eat however many fruits and vegetables you want. But I once heard someone that I know on Weight Watchers say, you know, eating too many fruits and vegetables isn't why I needed Weight Watchers. That wasn't my problem. And so for this person, it was a huge blessing to have the program where fruits and vegetables were free, because it meant they always had a better option if they were hungry, rather than just, oh, have enough willpower to not eat. No, they could go eat fruits and vegetables because they were a guilt-free option. It was a better thing that was queued up and ready to go. And have something better is one of the common direction signs from God. Third major direction sign from God says, exit here. Psalm 1, one of my favorite parts of Scripture, says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And if you listen, there's a progression there. The first is walking with the wicked. Then finally, that next leads to standing, lingering, loitering with the way that sinners take, and finally leads to sitting down at a table with the mockers. But at any step along the way, someone could have exited here. God gives us a way to exit at every step along the way, but you know, it's a lot easier to take your exit when you're still walking. And it's easier to take your exit if you're still standing rather than if you find yourself in the middle of a busy room at a table with other people. A lot harder to exit then than if you were just walking around outside. God gives us exit here signs so that we can get out of the bad neighborhood of trial and temptation while we are still on the outskirts, not snarled in the downtown traffic in the middle. But for us to take that exit sign, we have to know, what's the first step that leads you toward temptation? And what's the second step after that? What's the third step after that? At every step along the way, God's giving you an exit here sign. It's an opportunity to exit sooner. Sisters and brothers, we will all find ourselves driving around in the bad neighborhood of trial and temptation. But no temptation is stronger than any of us can bear. And God is faithful. So he always, always, always provides a way out. So what direction signs from God might be coming your way? Is God sending you the sign for public accountability? Is he sending you the sign for find something better? Is he sending you the sign for exit here? Follow the direction signs from God, not the detour signs from the adversary. We know we're not always going to do that. But at least we know it's always possible. And for that I say thanks be to God. Amen.